I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. But now I have a greater passion to love my Lord. God made the sun and the moon and the stars. He's so great, yet he seems so far. When I talk to him, it seems that he doesn't even hear. How can I love God whom I cannot see? This is my dream, the goal of my life. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. To love you, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love you more, fall in love with you so deep. But show me how to love you more. I don't want to serve you me. He will keep my commandments. Lord, I am meditating on your word so I can love you more. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? Where have you said me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to sacrifice all for you. Loving you with all of my heart. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. Loving me first, and also for choosing me first. I want to love you back as hard as I can, 'cause you love me first. Lord, please help me to keep your commandments. What have you told me that I'm not doing? I know that eyes haven't seen and ears haven't heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That is why I want to love him so. So take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. All my days I give to thee. So take my life and live. be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more, fall in love with You so deep. Show me how to love You more. I don't want to serve without loving You, Lord. Show me how to love You more. I don't want to serve without loving You, Lord.
Now it's time for the Word of God, amen. Come on, I said it's time for the Word of God, amen. Now, you don't choose your pastor. You discover your pastor, amen. And God has sent a man into your life. And whether you choose him or not, that's up to you. Amen. You discover this man that God has sent your way. And if you're excited for our pastor this morning, why don't you rise to your feet? He's here to guide us, to help us, to establish us. Clap for our pastor, Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah. Let us all pray together. Dear God in heaven, we come to You today. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior, we thank You for the opportunity to be here. We know it's not by chance, not by accident, but by Your divine purpose. Oh Lord, today we want to learn from Your word. We want to be transformed by renewing our minds. Thank You for this great chance in life. We won't take it for granted, and we will use it to the best of our abilities. Be blessed. Holy Spirit, come and move amongst us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Give your neighbor a high five, and then you can sit down on top of your enemy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me preach to you just for a few minutes, and then we close. John chapter 3, verse 1. One of my very favorite passages of scripture. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about Jesus and Nicodemus. Amen. Jesus had encounters with a few people in His life when He came to the earth. And those encounters teach us many valuable and great lessons. Hallelujah. He met a woman at the well and He offered her eternal life. Water that can gush from her inner belly. She changed. Her whole life changed. He met many, many people. He met Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, and He healed him from his blindness. Jesus can heal you from any sickness and disease you have. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Who did He still meet? He met a woman that was about to be stoned because she had committed adultery. Hey, those days the people were evil, Charlie. If we had to throw you with stones for adultery today, I wonder who would come to church. Lord have mercy. But He was very kind and said, I don't judge you. Go and sin no more. Wasn't it wonderful? Jesus has the power to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Praise God. He met Zacchaeus in the tree. This is the sycamore tree. Because Zacchaeus couldn't see Him. He was short. He was short, and he made a plan to climb a tree to see Him. And when He was passing by, He shouted to him. He said, have mercy on me. And Jesus asked him to come down and had a meal with him in his house. So all these are encounters with Jesus. May you also meet Jesus, and may you have an encounter with Him. Hallelujah. Jesus is real and He's alive. I was reading a book while my wife was in hospital, I was sitting by her side like a good husband does. I remembered my pledge to her in sickness and in health. So I was sitting there. And the more I look after, the more I also feel sick, you know. Because I was calling my son the other day. I said, make tea for the two of us. She was in bed, I'm also in bed. I said, I also feel like I can't do anything. Just bring the tea. But anyway, nevertheless, I was reading a book while I was sitting next to her called I Believe in Visions. And this book is about the great man of God called Kenneth Hagin. And he tells about four or five visions. He saw Jesus, really, he saw Jesus. And how Jesus spoke to him. And he said, Jesus was real like you are now in front of me. So he saw Jesus. And while I was reading the book, I remembered that I also had the vision of Jesus. I was reading the book and the Holy Spirit said to me, remember the day I gave you a vision. Because I was saying to myself, I would also like to see the visions that this man had. But I remember once having a vision of Jesus myself. And that was the vision of Jesus on the cross. It was like I was standing by the cross and I was beholding him. And I think that is one of the reasons why in my mind, God forbid that I should ever turn my back on him. Because once you have a vision of him, it's almost very hard to disappoint him. Even if no man sees you, you know that God is real. Oh yes, he's real. Jesus is real. It wasn't just a story of someone coming here 2,000 years ago. He's real. Many of you need a real encounter with Jesus. You need to meet him really. I tell you, your life will never ever be the same again. And they asked this man in the book, they said, how do you describe him? He said, his eyes. You can't describe the eyes. The eyes were like deep wells of love. Hey, I don't know how you can understand that, because even your boyfriend's eyes cannot show you deep wells of love. There's too much lies going around the world today, isn't it? When a man says he loves you, you can't even believe anymore. The wells of love. He said it was, he looked at Jesus and he saw, he could only explain it as deep love. I don't know where you can find eyes like that. I can't begin to describe it, because how will you understand it? How will you understand it? Well, this morning, this encounter of Nicodemus for me is a precious encounter. Because in this encounter, we hear for the first time the words, you must be born again. And I want to tell you that these words were not said to any old simple man on the street. No. This was a learned man. And this was a very well-known man. And it wasn't a poor man at all. Let's read the story, then we look at one or two points from which we can learn there. John chapter 3, verse 1. Are you there? If you don't have Bibles, sit next to a Christian. That's just a joke. You're supposed to laugh there. I'm going to have somebody with a board and says, have you seen the movie Shrek? Every time that you must laugh, they have a board. Laugh now. All right. But Christians must have Bibles. Isn't it good? Amen. Sunday school, they say the best book to read is the Bible. Is it true? So you must read it every day and you go stronger on the way. Here's the book. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus. This is the New Living Translation. So maybe it's better to read there, because my Bible now is a King James. It says, there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, who was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a type of a religious sect in the days that Jesus came to earth. There were both Pharisees and Sadducees, and there were some other groups as well. Amen? All right. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus and said, Rabbi means teacher. We all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. The miracles show that God is with you. Some things will show that God is with you or not. Amen. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Continue there. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Verse 6. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Verse 7. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to ask the projector person to put verse 6 for me in the King James Version, because I see the New Living Translators have completely changed it, but to make you understand it better. But verse 6 in the Old English is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching and the reading of His word. Nicodemus, I give you a few points and then I will close. Here are the lessons we learn from the encounter of Jesus Christ with Nicodemus. Are you willing to hear some of the important things? It can change your life forever. The word of God is a light unto your path. Yeah. It's a lamp to your feet. Nicodemus, like many important people, was religious, but he was not born again. That's the important point we see from the encounter. And what we must learn from that is being religious does not make you a Christian. Hey! Being religious does not make you a Christian. I think we will be surprised in heaven one day by what we think is religion and what is Christianity. This man was from the Pharisees, which were people that had their own laws and understood the Bible in a certain way. When Jesus came to earth, they could not understand him because they were too religious. Many religious people don't understand that you must have a personal encounter or relationship with Jesus. You must meet Jesus as a person. And you must make a personal decision about His and your relationship. Are you with me? It's not just about going to a church, attending a church, have your name on the register of a church. Do you and Jesus have a relationship? That's the question. Do you know Him? Do you talk to Him? Anybody you have a relationship with, you spend quality time with, isn't it? Yeah. Otherwise, the relationship will not be strong. Being religious does not guarantee you a place in heaven. You will know this because Jesus said to him, he must be born again. But he was like a priest coming to Jesus. Are you with me? A priest coming to Jesus, saying only nice things to Jesus. He said, you must be a man from God because no man can do these things you do. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. What a shock. Why would you say that to me? He said, yes, it's important. It's so important that you know the truth, because only the truth can make you free. Hallelujah. You know, every time I have a chance to speak to people, I can either make them feel nice about being here, or I can tell them the truth, because I don't want to stand before God and be guilty of a decision that you have to make. And I had an opportunity to tell you the truth. And I didn't because I was afraid I might offend you. Hey, may the Lord help me. May the Lord help me not to play with your life. Because your life is a matter of life and death today here in this meeting. Oh yeah. So I can make you feel good and try and invite you back here and say you are a good religious person. But it's better you meet Jesus as a person and find a relationship with Him. Not the church. The church is a good place to come to where you get taught, but it cannot save you. Hallelujah. It's Jesus who saves people. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, even if you're a religious man, it doesn't guarantee you a place in heaven. Nicodemus was two things. He was an important man. And he was a religious man. Important people must also come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Look, no matter what you do in this world, no matter what your studies take you to do, no matter how important you are, everybody must have this encounter with Jesus. Even important people must meet Jesus. I'm sure that there are many presidents who were important in their countries, but they have never had an encounter with Jesus. Important people must also meet Jesus. Beautiful. And religious people, they also need to come to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that no man can come to the Father except he comes through me. That word was the word that Jesus uttered in John 6. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man can come to the Father unless he comes through me. He didn't say only poor men, or he said no man. It includes important people and it includes religious people. Can I have an amen? Oh yeah. No man. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man or woman, when he says man, it means it's not a sexual term, it's general. No human being. Man refers to human beings. No human being can come to the Father unless they come through me. So, according to the Bible, there's no other way to God. Yeah, we are religiously tolerant and we love all people, but we can't say something that the Bible does not say. The Bible says all people must come to Jesus. Otherwise, the coming of Jesus to earth was in vain. Yeah. If there's another way to God, that means His coming and His dying on the cross, His shedding of His blood, is in vain. It's for speck and bunches. You can find another way to God. It is not true, my friends. There's no other way to God. God sent His Son to come and die for us, to make a way out of our problem, so that we can find Him who is originally our Creator. Amen? It's a love story. It's the greatest love story ever told. There's a movie called Love Story. Have any of you heard of it? You wouldn't have heard of it. It was made in 1970. How many of you were born after 1970? After. Yeah. Who was born before 1970? Now, I don't know if you saw this movie. It's called Love Story. It was a very popular movie. Get it. I'll give it to you. If you bring me a USB stick, I'll give it to you. It's a love story of a rich man, student, university student. He's very rich and he meets this poor girl at university, but he loves her. They fall in love. And his parents was against this thing. Because she's not from this side of the tracks. She's from the other side of the tracks. Ek wil nou nie sê Oudtshoorn of Frieden Dali, maar sy was nou nie van so 'n ryk gebuurt nie. Amen. It's a beautiful story. And I think then she has cancer or something. And then he really, the movie shows the love for her. In the newspaper some many, many years ago, the headline of the English newspaper said the greatest love story ever told. And it was the story of one of the dukes of Windsor. He fell in love with a divorced woman. You know, like this lady who married the prince now. What's her name? Meghan Markle. Is it Sparkle or Markle? It's Markle, but she sparkles. It's like a story like that. But in those years, they told the Duke of Windsor, if he marries, he fell in love with a woman that was divorced twice. He said, if you marry her, you can't marry her. She was an American woman. You must go read it. It's nice. You that have Google and internet, go read it. They said, if you marry her, you will have to give up the throne because his father had just died and he was in line to become the king. Actually, he became the king. But because of his love for this woman, they said, look, you can't, this marriage can never work unless you abdicate the throne. I don't know if that's the right English word. You must step down. And he made the decision to step down from the throne because of his love for this American lady. It's a true story. Just type the Duke of Windsor, then you see it. But when this happened, they kind of disappeared into obscurity. Nobody knew about them. They had a very private life. And that's why the Sunday Times wrote, the greatest love story ever told. But I've got news for you. That is not the greatest love story ever told. The greatest love story ever told was when God sent His only Son. His only Son down from heaven to be with wicked human beings that He knew would one day kill Him. But because of His love for them, the Bible says when He hung on the cross, He could have called and the angels got ready to come to rescue Him. Because where He comes from, He commands angels. Hey! And when they saw that their commander in chief was being tormented and was about to die, the Bible says the angels got ready to come to rescue Him. But if they had rescued Him, there would be no way of escape for you and me from the sin that we have committed and the price we must pay, because the wages of sin is death and the gift of God is eternal life. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The visit of Jesus to earth was to save us from our sins. And that day when the angels got ready to slaughter the human beings, Jesus said, no, don't come. I must come to fulfill my destiny. I came to die so that my people can be set free. Hallelujah. That is the greatest love story that was ever told. The love of God for you and for me. And He meets this man, Nicodemus, and we realize that all people must come to Him. Hallelujah. Number two, are you there? I'm almost finished preaching. Although I love this message. Even if you don't like it, I like it so much. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but you who do the will of God. Hey, I wonder if all of us in this place will go to heaven one day. I don't know. Because this scripture says, not all of you who say to me, Lord, Lord. Let's look at it in the English version quickly. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven. Amen. May you do the will of the Father in heaven. And may one day you also meet Jesus. Hallelujah. Number two. Hey, I like this preaching. Nicodemus, like many important people, did not want to be publicly associated with Christ. That's why he came to Jesus in the night, not willing that others must see him. Hey, this is a huge problem today. People are really not excited to mention the name Jesus. I think even in our church, we have a lot of people who come to our church, but I'm not sure that they're really excited of proclaiming Jesus to the outside world or to their friends or to mention his name. Yesterday, some of our people went to invite students, and the one lady said to me, some of the students were so rude to her at South Point. And they just, when she asked, can I have a minute of your time? They said, no. And I said, look, you must take all the shame that comes with following Christ. You must take the rejection with come to following Christ. And I think a lot of people don't want to be associated with Jesus for fear of rejection and for fear of shame. Yeah, that's why you don't even mention his name. But the Bible says this man came to him in the night. He didn't want people to see him. Are you ashamed of Jesus? You better not be. I'll tell you, there's a scripture that warns you. Let me tell you the scripture. This scripture is found in Mark 8, verse 38. Put it on the board. It says, Mark 8, 38. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. Do you see the scripture? It's not me saying, it's Jesus saying, if you are ashamed of me in this, this is not a wicked generation, isn't it? This generation is not ashamed of some evil things, but we are ashamed to say that we are children of God. We love Jesus. We're not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. People laugh at you. They mock at you because it's the worldly way, the worldly way. And our young people rather want to be like the worldly people, isn't it? Paul said, Demas forsook me because he loved the world. Don't be ashamed of him. My friends, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Number three. Nicodemus, like many important people, saw the miracles and he knew that God was speaking to him. Sometimes the miracles in your life are a sign of God's mercy to you. Do you know that? Because Nicodemus noticed miracles in the ministry of Jesus, and he said that this must be a man from God. Amen. Sometimes God is also allowing you to see his wonderful miracles so that you can recognize he's working in your life. Our daughter is a student at CPUT. And we also protested in Fees Must Fall. Shamana mana, shamana mana. But our fees did not fall. And the fees were quite a huge amount. But by some miracle happened to her. There was a company that was, their books were being audited, and the allocation that they had to give to students wasn't being used properly, and they had to run around to find a postgraduate student, she's an honor student, in to give some money to give some books to. And when they came that day, when the person came into the class, all the other students' fees had already been settled. They were only looking for someone whose fees was not settled from the previous year. And she put up her hand to say, it's me. And they said, then come. And by God's grace, they said, look, we'll settle your fees for last year. And we'll also pay for some of the fees for this year. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. How many of you would like such a miracle? Who still has debt? Who still has debt? Who would like somebody to come and say, I'll cover all your debt for you? Isn't it a miracle? Sometimes God wants to show you that he's around and he's alive. Hallelujah. The other day I was praying. I was jogging. Actually, I was jogging. I jog. You know, I jog. I keep fit. Can't you see? And a car left the road. The lady was on her cell phone and she lost control of the vehicle. And she came right over the pavement where I was jogging and she missed me by a few inches. And I realized this is not just a coincidence. No, the hand of God is moving. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is real. Nicodemus came and he said, you must be from God because the signs and the miracles you do. No, it can't be just by coincidence that blind eyes open, deaf ears hear, cripples walk, even demon possession is no problem for Jesus. He can solve any demon in you. He can cast out any demon in your life. Hallelujah. May the signs and wonders happen to you, I pray in Jesus' name, so that you can see that Jesus Christ is your God. Amen. Hallelujah. But the main thing, Franco, is that he said the words to Nicodemus, you won't be able to enter into the kingdom. Like many important people, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom. Ask your neighbor, are you an important person? Do that, please. Just interact. Oh, say, tell your neighbor, you know how look like an important person. You look like somebody important. I mean, the way you look, Charlie, the way you look, the way you are focusing on the pastor, the way you are looking, you're not just a silly sausage. I mean, you look like a very intelligent, important person. But I'm here to tell you the same words that Jesus said to Nicodemus. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Matthew 18 verse 3. Is Jesus said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and you become as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Acts chapter 3 verse 19. He said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing can come to you from the presence of God. Hallelujah. Times of refreshing is coming to you. Many of you are living under some heavy yoke. Some of you are burdened. Some of you, the sin of the world is on you. You are doing things that you know you don't enjoy anymore. I'm telling you that a time of refreshing can come on you if you come to Jesus and give Him your life today. Now, here's the truth about the whole story. If you don't come to Jesus, what will happen to you? This morning in my quiet time, I was reading Colossians. And in Colossians, Paul says, I do this work of warning and teaching. Warning and teaching. So part of our preaching should always have a warning. Are you listening? Young boy, sit up straight. I'm coming to the important part before I close. There's a warning. What happens then if I don't? If I'm not born again. If you're not born again, you will go to hell. According to Luke 13 verse 5. It says, if you don't repent, you will also perish. Luke 13. Verse 5. Is it on the board? Put it in verse, in the English version. Unless you repent, you shall perish. Even if you were a chief, a leader, a president, a school prefect, some important person, even if you're a millionaire or a student, you will go to hell. If you are not born again. But before I close, Nicodemus said, how can I be born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb? He did not know that being born again was not a physical experience, like eating or drinking or dancing. No, it is a spiritual experience. It's something that happens in the spirit. Hallelujah. And you can only experience this by your faith in God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace will you be saved through faith. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. So every person must be saved from his sins. And he must be baptized. Jesus said you must be born of water and of the Spirit. Water is a sign of washing. The water will wash you clean. Before we eat fruit, we normally wash it under water to take away all the germs and all the pollutants. Sin is like a pollutant. Sin is that which makes us filthy. But when you are washed, you can become clean. It is by the born again experience that the man becomes clean. He that believes and is baptized, Mark 16:16, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Nicodemus could not understand the simplicity and the humility that is required in being saved. He couldn't understand it because he was an educated man. But Jesus said, marvel not. I like these words. In the King James, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He says, you are a learned man, you don't understand what I'm talking about. Look at the wind, he says, the wind blows. Who knows where it comes from? Who knows where it goes to? But you can see the effects of the wind. I don't know how a man's life is changed. I really can't explain it to you in a test tube, but all I can say, you'll see the difference. You'll see the difference. You'll see the wind's effects. I can't tell you where it comes from. Neither can I tell you where it goes to. But all I can tell you, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was once a man that knew not Christ. But when I heard that I must be born again, I said, Lord, I want to be born again. Born of the Spirit. Something happens on the inside of you. Yes, the Lord says a new spirit will be given to you. Because of our sins, we cannot enter into the kingdom. But because of the death of Jesus, the blood of Jesus washes us. There will be a washing. Hallelujah. Not of water, but of the blood. Of the blood. A washing of the blood. And it's very simple. How can we be born again? We must confess Jesus as our Lord. It's a simple method. By faith in God. By faith in God. Hebrews 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord, and later was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, I was 12 years old when I was in a church many, many, many years ago. And a preacher was preaching. And the Holy Spirit convicted me. He said, you must be born again. The day I put up my hand and publicly I walked out in front of everybody. I didn't think about the shame of walking in front of everybody. I was just afraid that I might miss it. And I came in front and I knelt down. And it was real to me because my tears, I can remember it, it fell on the floor. I said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I want to be born again. Because if Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a man of importance, was told to be born again, what about me, Lord? I also want to be born again. Unless a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. You say, but Pastor, is it so simple? Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And many of you that have come to this church for a long time, you're not guaranteed salvation. not because you're religious, you just walk to church. Have you been born again? It's a question. You must answer, have I been born again? How will you know you're born again? You will see the effects of your life. There'll be a change in your life. The things you used to do, you do them no more. Are you sure you're born again? If Jesus comes tonight to fetch you, will you be ready to go to heaven? He said you can't go there unless you are born again. Bow your heads in prayer, close your eyes, everybody. I want to give you a chance this morning to make this wonderful decision for Christ to be born again. You might not have this chance ever again in your life. I don't know. God's grace is sufficient for you today. And He allowed me to say these words to you. And like I walked down this aisle so many years ago, you can also do the same. Jesus always calls people publicly. He never called people in private. He said, if you are ashamed of me, one day I will be ashamed of you when I get to heaven. So don't be ashamed of the Lord. Many of our young boys must make up their minds to be born again, to allow Christ to come into their lives and change their lives. Today is that day. Now I'm going to ask you, if there's somebody like that, maybe as I was speaking, you felt that God is talking to you, why don't you let me pray with you? I will pray with you. Put up your hand and then I want to say a prayer with you. Is there somebody like, I see your hand. Is there anybody else? Is there one? The first one has said, I want to be prayed for. Is there somebody else? Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Are you sure? Ask yourself this question. Am I sure I'm changed? Am I ready to meet God? It's the most important question you can ever ask in your whole life. You can have all that the world can bring. But if you're not born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Can we all stand to our feet? Be brave. Be brave. I'm not asking you to join a church. No, not at all. Because religion cannot save you. You must have a personal meeting with Jesus. A personal meeting. It's between you and Him. That's it. But He wants to call you publicly. He called Nicodemus. He called Zacchaeus out of the tree in front of everyone. Nicodemus thought he can come in the night when no one can see him. But God is not like that. Must be an open chains. Ask yourself the question, do my friends know that I belong to Jesus? If not, you must come this morning and be prayed for, because you also must be born again. Not physically, it's a birth in the inside. You are born in the spirit and it will show on the outside. Is there anybody else? Please put up your hand. Keep your eyes closed. I want to pray for you. You must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. I'm going to ask the young girl who put up her hand to come join me in front. No, don't be ashamed. You have to face Jesus one day. Come out and stand with me. And if anybody wants to join her, you can come join her. If your heart is beating, God is talking to you. Come join her as Virgil sings, come unto Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Come unto Jesus.
Just let Him have. You can still join them before I pray. I'll give you a few minutes and then I'm going to close.
Come on to Jesus.
Precious Holy Spirit,
give Him your life today.
Hallelujah.
Come on to Jesus.
Come on to Jesus and let Him have His way.
Let Him have His way.
I want to pray for them. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. This is such a crucial decision. It is the most important decision any man can make. any woman can make. There's nothing more important than this. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world but he loses his own soul? I feel some boys that were and some girls in this church, they need to reevaluate their lives and they need to say, Lord, I want to start afresh. I want to start again. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. There must be a change in your life, a transformation, a transformation, a transformation. I'm going to sing it one last time because I feel the Holy Ghost is still talking to people. I can't force no one. You have to make up your mind, but I want to be as kind and as long-suffering as I can be to wait for you. You need to be here with these people. Today is a turnaround in your whole life. Your life is going to turn from this day forward. Under the power of God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit will help you. You are born of water and of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Kalaboshekayaha.
Come on.
Come, I'm waiting. I'm really waiting for you. Today is the day.
Come
on to Jesus.
To Jesus. Let him have his way.
All right. I won't linger any longer. I'm going to pray for these people. What a blessing. Oh, yes, another young man. God is talking to people. God is talking to people. Yes. God is a God of many chances. He's a great God. He loves you. He will give you another chance. And another. But sometimes our chances run out. Maybe this is your last chance. Don't let this moment pass you by. Is there somebody else that want to join them before I pray? If your heart is beating, it's God. God speaks like that. He speaks like that. God is calling you. You must give your life to Him. You must give your life to Him. You must give your life to Him. You will remember this day. One day when you stand before God, you will remember this day when I spoke to you. May it be a good day for you that day. Come unto
Jesus.
Give him your life.
Give
beautiful
him
Jesus.
Your life.
Beautiful Savior.
Today.
I saw you.
Come unto Jesus.
Oh, let him.
I'm
going to ask these people in front to pray these words after me. I'm going to help you to pray. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Pastor Chris is going to help you to call on the name of the Lord this morning. But you must mean it from the depths of your heart. And the God I know is a great God. He's a loving God. He will give you another chance in life. Today your life is going to be turned around. Say after me, say, dear Jesus, I come to you today just as I am. Dear Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my mistakes. I know that you love me and you died for me on the cross of Calvary to cleanse me of all my sins, to give me the free gift of eternal life. Today, I want to be born again. I accept you as my Savior, as the one who died for me. Please wash me with the precious blood. Make me a new person. Come live inside my heart. Lead me and guide me. From today, I want to follow you. I want to hear your voice, and I want to go where you tell me to go. And I want to do what you tell me to do. Save me, Jesus. Please save me today. Please write my name in the book of life. As Nicodemus, I want to say, today I am born again. Today I am a new person. Not in the flesh, in the spirit. In the spirit. I thank you for saving me. I thank you for redeeming me. I thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us just give a praise offering to God for the salvation of so many souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have this little book that I give to all the people who make this decision. This is the most important decision. It's what I live for. I want to give you this little book, what to do now that you are saved. You can get another one from out. Stand there, stand. You must read this again. And you, my dear, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you now. Father, as they've made up their minds, protect the decision they've made by the power of your word, your fire. May no evil bird steal the seed of the word. May today be a change in their lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Pastor Allison, we'll get your names and we'll phone you. We'll keep talking to you. We'll follow you up. You are blessed. Amen. I want to pray for the students. If there's any student, are you a student study? I want to pray for your studies. I know end of the year is coming. I tell you, being a student is not easy. In the days when I was at the university, they used to put our results up on the board where everybody can see. And then the students took a pen and they scratched out their results. Now they put it behind a glass that you can't scratch it out. I don't know if they still do it, but in the days when I was at UWC, everybody could see your result. It wasn't nice. But I am going to pray for you. My prayer carries great power. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You can join them if you're a student. You want me to pray for you and your results and also for your well-being. We used to eat potatoes every day. Hey, bread and potatoes the one day. And the next day we ate potatoes and bread. It was just potatoes, potatoes, potatoes each. Making chips in the fryer. I'll pray for all of you because it's important. Then I also want to look at me, all you students. I want to give you this invitation. If you don't attend the church, you live nearby. This is a good church to come to. Even if you have a church at home in Joburg, Kenya, wherever. But for while you are at UDAP or wherever you are, this is a good church. You can see. I'm a nice pastor, can't you see? Yeah. So you need to be at a church. It's important. You can study and become the greatest professor, but if you lose your spiritual life, there's nothing. Your heart will be torn in two by the devil. He steals, kills, destroys. But if you have Christ in your boat, even if the storm comes, He will help you. And you need the guidance of a father and a pastor like me. You need that guidance. Oh yeah. If my child must go study far, I also tell him, go to a good church close where you are. So if you my son, I will tell you to do. Many of these children, they are like my sons and daughters. I instruct them, do this, do that, do this. I guide them. I'll guide you in your studies, everything. I'll guide you in your life. You need somebody to guide you. You need a pastor. You need a shepherd. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lord, I pray for the students. I once too was a student. And Lord, you helped me every step of the way. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Now that I think back, it was only by your grace. Even the work was so hard and so difficult. But you made me pass. Now I pray that you will make them all pass. I pray that you will take their minds to be focused on what they must do. and to work hard in the studies. And I pray that you will bring to memory the things that they have read and show them the right stuff to learn so that they can be successful in this life. Oh God, I pray that you will provide for them in the days when there's nothing much to eat. You promise that your children will never go hungry. Never have I seen the righteous begging for bread. The righteous forsaken or its seed begging for bread. Now by this prayer that I pray, may they never be hungry. May they always have something to eat. And may they be protected from the wickedness of Satan and the wickedness of human beings to harm them, to injure them, to rob them. I place a blockage now in front of every armed robber in the name of Jesus. Every wicked person that is coming to harm or to hurt them, it shall not come to pass. I interfere in the plans of Satan to cause them harm. And I command God's angels to protect them, to walk with them, to be with them. May they find their feet walking to the house of God, where they can honor you, Lord. Because if they gain the whole world and they lose their souls, what shall they give in exchange for their souls? I pray that you be with them. I lay my hands on all of them. I pray that as I lay my hands, there will be an impartation. Just a little bit of oil on my hands as a sign of the Holy Spirit. Be with him, Lord. Guide them. Guide them. Be with them. Thank you for the students. Thank you for their lives. Be with them, Lord. Them that they are far away from home. May they find a place that is home away from home. Bless her too, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these beautiful young girls and this young man. Bless them. Bless her more abundantly. Bless her. Bless her. Bless them. Bless them. Remain standing where you are. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Jesus. Bless my student. A grade, I pray. A grade. A grade. A grade. From a D to an A. In the name of Jesus. You shall pass and you shall have good results. The days when I studied, they said, if you get a D, it means twas dear. But I pray that your D will turn into a C. And your C will become a B. And your B will become an A. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You're going to need friends. You're going to need help. You're far away from home. I'm offering that to you in this church. This is the Holy Spirit said to me, let the church focus on the students. Because we have many churches. This is only one. We have churches. I'm going to other churches now. But this one is near the students. So you have to decide. But I'm opening up the invitation to you. You must come and be part of us. Amen. God bless you. Go back to your seats. We are closing. Ha ha. La la la.